Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Bill Bradley to the broadcast. Bill is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of CenturyLink, an $18 billion telecommunications company. Bill has been with CenturyLink for over 30 years and ascended to his current role in 2010. As CIO, Bill is responsible for managing, maintaining, and developing information systems and solutions that support CenturyLink's customers and employees. He's been with the company during major acquisitions, including Embark, Quest Communications, and Savvis, all major players in the telecom and cloud infrastructure industry. Bill received his Bachelor of Science degree in computer science from Louisiana Tech University. I recently caught up with Bill by phone at his office in Monroe, Louisiana, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed how his IT department looks for talented individuals in other areas of the company and the rotational programs in place across the organization, and Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed innovation, IT's role in advancing innovative ideas, and some examples of innovative activities within CenturyLink. We also discussed how IT's contributions to the organization have changed over his long tenure, the on-demand resource model within IT, the role that IT plays in mergers and acquisitions, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Bill Bradley, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Hey, thanks, Peter. It's good to be here.
Bill, I thought we would begin with your company, CenturyLink. It is a company that I'm sure is familiar to a great number of our listeners, but I thought I might take a moment and have you describe the business as someone who knows it so intimately.
Sure. We are a traditional network provider at our core, but we're much more than that. We offer video services, obviously voice services, cloud and managed hosting are services that we've recently added to our portfolio. And then even more recently, we made an analytics buy, which is to expand our IT services offering, which had been in place for a little while. And I might just add that we're operating both in the U.S., but also internationally.
How would you describe your role in the organization?
My responsibility includes all of the internal IT systems and platforms. Many of the business processes are encapsulated in those systems, and it's a large number of systems. We grow by acquisition, so we have a significant number of systems that we use to support our business, and we work to rationalize those over time. As far as my role, it is a senior leadership role with the rest of the CEO direct reports, which are involved in setting the strategic vision for the company.
Excellent. And you've been with CenturyLink and predecessor companies to it for roughly 30 years.
Yeah, coming up on my 30th anniversary here in December of this year. And it's been a lot of change.
And that actually is a great segue for my next question. I was going to say that across that tenure, I can only imagine how things have evolved. And I wonder if I can ask you to go down memory lane a little bit and talk about how the organization has changed, how IT's contribution to the business has changed, and the extent to which you care to comment on the cultural changes you've seen across those 30 years. I'd be interested in all of the above.
Yeah, glad to share that. So if you look back to when I started, we were an analog company moving rapidly to digital. And we're exploring mobile in the early days of cellular. And IT at that point was providing your traditional IT services, you know, back office services, billing, provisioning at the network level, activation, those types of services. And really seen as a valued partner there, but not necessarily as strategic as we're viewed today. So significant change in that context. But the technology itself has changed rapidly as well, you know, as we move from an environment that was largely mainframe-centric maybe mid-range, and some smaller companies through the whole PC era and evolution. And then today, really, as you embrace mobile application platforms and in the cloud. And that's really been part of the technology evolution that we've been on as a IT organization and really as a company. And today we think of ourselves as an IT company in a lot of senses, in a little way different than just a pure network company, in that we provide the network. We're always going to do that, but we build a lot of value on top of the network. And that's really been our focus in the more recent time. You mentioned culture, and that's an area that I talk about a lot and I think about a lot. It really impacts everything we do. If you think about just the company for a moment, you know, we moved from a highly regulated environment over time. Really, in a lot of cases, in the incumbent case, we were the only provider of these type services. And we didn't really have a need to do a lot of marketing because most of the time we saw very little competition in our markets. And if you did see competition, it would typically be from a next generation technology that probably didn't provide the full range of services. And you fast forward to today, very competitive environment, not nearly as regulated as it was, although we still do have some regulations. And it's a very different environment. And for people with long tenures in IT, that's been a real challenge, and that's really the cultural aspect of that. You know, as we evolve as a company, we have to evolve as individuals as well. And sometimes it's hard for somebody that's been locked into being the technical solution provider to think about moving into a broader role in the company. But we've had a lot of success with that. We've had a lot of our leadership in the company either serve time in IT or, you know, maybe even they began their career in IT and rotated through other business units. So really a very different mindset about the IT contribution that's provided by individuals in the organization today versus 30 years ago.
That's really fascinating. I love the anecdote at the end, especially about how IT is one of the divisions that people are passing through the beginning of their career, midpoints of their career, but it's a skill set that's becoming more important perhaps as one rises in the ranks of the organization. Does the reverse happen as well? I suppose that it must, that you're identifying tech savvy folks from other parts of the organization just as you're identifying people in IT who might be interested to do rotations or to find themselves in different divisions of the organization. Is that right?
Absolutely. It really does move both ways. We consider that just a part of a rotation that provides us with a more well-rounded leader. You know, leadership training occurs throughout all of that, but you know, having somebody that's maybe got a background or a number of years experience in, say, accounting or marketing, and then has an aptitude or interest in IT, having them spend a couple of years in IT ultimately gives a lot of value to that individual and to the company as well. We've even gone so far in that context to create postgraduate programs with some university partners that lead to certificates in IT, which are really, they're not full master's level programs. They're really about halfway there. So they're 15 hours of postgraduate work that really takes an individual who might have that degree in accounting, for example, and then exposes them to the IT principles they would need to have in order to be successful in IT. And we've had an enormous number of employees that have gone through that process. And it really provides them a much more well-rounded experience in understanding how the company operates, and they become valued contributors in whatever area they ultimately land, whether it's in IT or back in maybe the business unit that they began in.
And Bill, it strikes me as also a keen strategy to have your best performers, your future leaders, have more reason to stay with the organization as well. So that, for example, when a future leader is behind somebody who's young and not moving, let's say, in line, that there are opportunities laterally in other parts of the organization to expose them to a broader set of what the business does. I imagine that's a great way from a talent development perspective to encourage people to stay with the firm that much longer. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it doesn't hurt that you have a company that's growing like we have that provides a lot of opportunity, but regardless of the environment of your company, when you have that opportunity to participate in the business of the company, that's what I say to a lot of our incoming IT professionals is, you know, you've already distinguished yourself, you've gotten a degree, you probably had a good GPA, and you made it through the process of competing against your peers. But now, what are you going to do to extend that into helping the company? Certainly, there are roles for people that have deep technical expertise and just understand a certain area within IT, but the most valued employees are those that can bring the IT expertise and the business acumen to be able to be a much more well-rounded individual providing solutions throughout the whole spectrum of problems that a company might have to solve. In my career, I did get the opportunity during the early days of internet to step out and help build our ISP offering. So we were doing dial-up internet, 28 and 56K modems at that point. But I got the opportunity to go and lead that organization. And I learned so much there. I learned about marketing and I learned about customer service. I mean, I had the call center responsibility, as well as all the IT responsibilities that come from building a business like that. So that's a operational job that gave me a great insight into who we are as a business. And even though that was many years ago, it still pays tremendous dividends to me today. The more that we can do for our employee base by giving them that rotational experience, the better off we are as a company, the better off they are as individual contributors.
Makes a lot of sense. I know another topic that you're passionate about is innovation, Bill. And I'd like to ask you about the role that IT plays in innovation at CenturyLink, and also just sort of the methods you use to drive innovation.
Sure. And innovation is something I spend what little outside time I have trying to be as competent and as up to speed as possible with. And that includes working with colleges, universities, the venture capital environment out in Silicon Valley. It's important for companies to be innovative and really to think deeply about what integration means. And it's become an increased priority for the IT organization, but it's an increased priority for our whole company. And that's another change. We talked about the history a little bit earlier, and a very dynamic, fast-moving environment today versus where we were in the past. And you know, innovation is the key to that. You see innovative startup companies every day that pop up. And what I try to do is challenge our team members to think like that, to think like they're a startup, and to think about the assets we have as a company and how you might could apply those in new and innovative ways. And it's a challenge, you know, and culture plays into this a little bit, but being able to, you know, ask yourself if you're creating an environment that your employees can use to their maximum potential is a question that I challenge our teams to think about every day. Sometimes the IT organizations and more traditional companies tend to go to more of the command and control type mentality, which is probably, you think about standards probably in the 90s, probably the right answer. You think about that today, you know, people that are employees of our company interact with us through many different means. And the same thing is true for our customers. You know, they want to do business with the company on their schedule. So that means providing self-service, you know, whether that's through a internet browser environment on a desktop, or through an IVR in a call center, or through a mobile device that enables them to do that at their leisure, at their pleasure. So that's a very important part of innovation, and to think holistically about what that means to a company is very critical to our success.
Excellent. And can you talk a bit about some examples of IT-led innovation?
Yeah, one example that comes to mind is our sales process was in need of some review. And the traditional process, very similar to a lot of industries, might involve talking to a customer, sitting down with them if they're a small business owner, understanding their needs. And in the past, you would take that information, go back, create a quote, usually a paper quote, and then you'd come back in a follow-on meeting and talk to them about how your solution would be the solution for them. Probably even bring a multi-page contract back with you and hope you get a signature. Well, that worked years ago, but today customers are looking for faster solutions. You know, they'd like to be able to understand what your offerings are there in real time. And for our sales teams, being able to provide them with an application that has all of their information at their fingertips is something that we found to be really valuable. And we call that SalesLink, and it's just a tool that we put in the hands of our salespeople. These are tablet-enabled applications that connect back to our back office and it allows our salespeople to do all of that sales cycle there in one visit with a customer. And you know, typically what you see is a greater pull-through on your sale because you've gotten the opportunity to understand what that customer needs and give them real-time and accurate information about what you can provide to them. So we've seen a tremendous uplift in our sales just through that process alone. And we call that sales. One other quick one that we've seen is where we take a product that we call CenturyLink On, which is a product that allows the customer to get instant access to our services. The first example I was giving you was more of a small business or even a large business owner. Same thing applies at the consumer level. So hopefully a customer that's moving into an environment, maybe a multi-dwelling unit or a pre-wired home, being able to provide that service fast to that customer is really critical. You know, when you're moving into an environment like that, you have a lot of things you have to do. And one of the things that most people that are moving today want is to be able to get connected as soon as they get to their new location. So making that easy for customers to be able to do that fast is one of the things that we spend a lot of time on. And that's paid real dividends as well.
You've adopted an on-demand resource model within IT, but I would love for you to describe that as well as the rationale behind having elected to do that.
Yeah, it's a process that we're still continuing to evolve to. I wouldn't say we're all the way there yet, but it's really about leveraging our technology to move and focus toward what matters most. And if you think about the entire traditional development lifecycle, if you think about a development project, it's typically called waterfall. In its day, and at the time, it was really a very good solution for having a conversation with your internal customer about what their needs were. But today, we talk a lot about agile, and that's really what we've enabled our teams to do, is to move to an agile model, which allows them to be much more in the moment with the customer, provide what their needs are, their demands are, there in real time or nearer real time. And you're able to get the solution to the customer faster and typically with higher satisfaction. And so that's been a big effort that we've undertaken in the past few years in order to get employees prepared to work in that environment. But it's also critical that you get your customers ready for that environment, because it does demand more from your customers. In the past, you know, they would give IT an order, if you will, for a service or a solution, and they'd be really involved up front with the requirements gathering. And then IT disappeared for months or sometimes years and came back with a solution. Well, during that interval, a lot happened, especially today. And so that model requires more constant interaction with your customer. And it requires more of your customer, too. They've got to be more involved in taking a look at the solution that you're providing them, giving you feedback, testing the software for you or with you. So that does put more demand on them, more demand on the IT professional. But the bottom line is it gives the results to the customer faster and with higher quality. And that's really what we're trying to do.
That makes sense. You mentioned earlier, Bill, in our conversation that yours is an organization that's grown quite a bit through acquisition. And given the number of acquisitions that you have seen across your career, I wonder, what role does IT play in M&A? Is there a sort of a blueprint that you've established, recognizing that every acquisition is a little bit different, no doubt, but how do your team and yourself weave yourself into M&A where appropriate?
Yeah, so we're usually involved in those type of conversations at the very beginning, you know, from due diligence all the way through delivery. And the role that IT plays is a couple of different ones, but primarily one of helping to deliver synergy. And there are a couple of different approaches to that. If you're buying a company of like structure and size, then you probably have similar but different systems. And so going through that process of rationalizing those systems will provide at least two main benefits. One, there's obvious cost synergy. So you don't have to run both platforms any longer. But two, you have the opportunity to take that system that you're going to standardize on, the 2B system, if you will, and then have the conversation with the business about the processes that are instantiated in that system. Because that's really what systems are. They're just automated processes. And understanding what that means for your business, you can take the approach of saying, I'd like the best of all worlds, the best of breed approach, which could be desirable, but a lot of best of breed projects fail because you try to create nirvana and it's just unwieldy and difficult and costly to do that. Or you can take the approach of, say, an adopt and go. And that's the term we use. we're saying we're going to pick a standard system that we think fit our future business needs the best, and then we're going to move to those and only close gaps where it's absolutely necessary. That also provides you the opportunity to get even greater cost synergy or cost benefit out of that conversion process. But that's a very challenging, difficult process to go through. We do feel like we built a competency in being able to do that well. We've seen it create a lot of benefit for the business. And it gives a lot of opportunity for the IT leader individual to be a part of that business conversation. And we've been really successful with doing that in the past. Same thing can be true if you're in a business that's a little different. We saw that when we started integrating companies that were in a little different space, like network versus cloud. Same opportunities, though, to talk about the business. And probably you see some positive revenue synergy from being able to bundle those products and services together. That's another opportunity for IT in the M&A space to be a leader there and to help think through that process with the highest quality as possible and as quickly as you can do it.
And the people who are involved from your team, is this a rotational program as well? Is this something that the same people are likely doing again and again and again? Or is it something that is a rotation, to borrow your earlier phrase, for some people in IT and then made available to the next wave of people behind them for the next acquisition?
Yeah, there's an opportunity for people to participate that haven't been part of it. And then clearly there's a role for the subject matter expert that's probably done it 100 times. And, you know, really brings that deep understanding of the process. As we've branched as a company into IT services, though, that gives us the opportunity. That's a competency. That gives us the opportunity to take that competency and apply it to other companies, because we're not the only company that undergoes M&A. And anytime you do that, you probably have the same opportunity. So we've looked at and been successful in providing that as a service to companies that are undergoing M&A. And we think there's a positive upside to that as well.
I wonder, as somebody with such a long tenure within the same company and now in the top post in IT, I wonder, Bill, if you were to go back in time and provide advice to your younger self, what sorts of things would you advise based on the experience you've now had across the decades?
Yeah, good question. One of the things that I would have told my younger self is one of the things I mentioned earlier in this conversation, which is get to know the business you're in and not the technology that you have the competency to support. So, you know, in my case, I learned that lesson pretty early, but I could have learned it earlier. And, you know, really understanding what's going on in your business. And a lot of businesses, our business is full of acronyms that have meaning, and understanding what that meaning is and how it applies to the business is really important. And especially in today's world where there are a lot of solutions, IT solutions providers, and literally a global opportunity for solutions to be provided. You need to be able to distinguish yourself, and to be able to do that and understand your business is, I think, something that I would have told myself, do that even sooner in your career than you did. And then the second thing that I learned along the way that I would share is, you know, there are really only two people in the company, people that are serving the customer and then the people that are serving those that serve the customer. And I learned that from one of our managers years ago. You know, and he taught me to think about that in everything I do. You know, are you serving the customer? If you're in support of that customer, you probably have a direct conversation with them, but at least you should be serving someone who is. And when you do that, that should lead to success for you personally and for your business as well.
Well said. We've had a chance to look backward. Now looking forward, as you think a year, two, three down the road, Bill, what trends particularly excite you? What are some of the things that you and your team are investigating that you think potentially have some real opportunity for the organization to exploit?
Well, there are several things our team is focused on that I'm excited about, and I could just touch on those really quickly. Being able to have a mobile-first mentality, being able to think about where your customer wants you to interact with them and meet them there is really important. I think taking a services approach to your architecture that says I'm going to build something that's reusable later is really important and critical. And I think the more time you spend on that, the better. The third one I'd call out would be agile. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, just being able to be in a space where you can respond rapidly to change. And then I did just add one more, and that's really in the analytics space. And that's, you know, maybe little hype around that right now, but it's real. And being able to make decisions based on analytics is going to give you an edge, either with your customer or with your competitor in some fashion. And I think we're just getting started down that road. So I think there's a real growth opportunity in really understanding analytics. And I don't just mean writing reports. I mean really understanding the data that you have, because almost everybody's got a ton of data, and every device in the world is throwing off new data every day. How you take that, maybe marry that with other data that's available, say demographic data, psychographic data that you could get publicly or even buy if you needed it, allows you to be in a position to make a better decision as you're marketing to a customer, as you're trying to provide a customer a solution, as you're trying to make a decision about how to run your own business currently. So I think that's an area that I'd really say I'm excited about for the future.
Excellent. Well, Bill Bradley, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives. It's been a great conversation.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's been my pleasure, and thanks again.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.